Welcome to Gallifrey Public Radio. Join us each week for tales and related discussions, internet style.
Spoilers.
We'll be discussing news and rumors, as well as episodes that have already aired. But don't worry, if we get into anything too serious, we warn you again. This week we do our best to make people feel like crap for hating on Martha, and revisit the horror that is The Last Time Lord. But first, your hosts. I'm Jay Witten. Steemo can just write pretty much anything, and we're just going to be like, oh, that's awesome. And with me are Melissa Mazza.
Perfect Whovian name.
And Keir Hansen.
I'm holding up for a cat fight.
Welcome to episode 21 of Gallifrey Public Radio, where we prove that even the most disliked companions is still fracking awesome. My name is Jay, and I'm here with Melissa tonight. How are you doing, Melissa?
I'm great, Jay. Glad to talk to you again this week. Tonight we're going to be talking about Martha Jones, right?
Right, yeah. Unfortunately, Keir is not going to be able to be with us tonight. He is having some technical difficulties, and weather conditions the way they are, we're not going to make him rush out and try and fix it. So he should be with us again next week, but for tonight, it's just us.
And I would like to say he made fun of us for having computer problems. Just throwing that out there.
Karma's a bitch, ain't it? So we're actually about 3 months out from the new Doctor Who. Things are starting to gear up for the second half of Series 7. We do have a confirmed title on one of the episodes now. The ghost story that we were talking about previously had two titles at one point, but they have nailed it down. It is going to be Phantom of the Hex. So we should have titles for everything except the series finale, which I don't think we're going to get that for a long time to come yet.
Yeah, and it might be kind of a spoiler or something.
Yeah. But, well, things are getting there. I mean, it's, it still seems like it's a long way off, though.
Yeah, I mean, but remember, it feels like just yesterday that we were talking about how far away the Christmas episode was, and I have to keep reminding myself of that. And,
yeah.
It's already,
All right.
So we have some news. Not very much Whovian news today. I saw that you posted this thing here, the Valentine's Day cards. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, they're just some Whovian Valentine's Day cards I found on Etsy. There's eight of them for $10, which seems excessively steep to me, unless it's just eight designs, but I don't know. It's a, well, it says set of eight for $10. I'm not sure, but I mean, there'll be a link in the show notes, but you know, they're fairly cute. You know, you've got some of these, you know, the doctor says, "I love you with all my hearts."
And there's a Dalek that says infatuate.
Yeah, there's one that kind of bothers me. It shows Amy and Rory upside down falling, and it says falling for you. I was like, that's just cold. I mean, too soon, dude. Too soon. But anyway, just they're on there if you want to go take a look. I mean, they're cute little cartoony versions of all the stuff. So it's just something I found today, and I figured I'd mention it. Maybe get this guy some business because, hey, honestly, anything Doctor Who is worth looking at, you know.
Yeah, and they are adorable, and Valentine's Day is coming up, so we're gonna link to that in the show notes if anyone's interested in those. Yeah.
All right. Well, some of the big news actually just hit recently. BBC America is going to be running a special called a series called Doctors Revisited. It's going to start on January 27th. And they'll basically be going back, taking a look at each one of the previous doctors. And I guess this is getting ready for the beginning of Series 7. So they'll start January 27th at, I believe, 9 p.m. Eastern with William Hartnell.
Yeah, and it's funny that before you said how Martha is fracking awesome, I was watching BBC America earlier today, watching Battlestar Galactica, and I saw the commercial for this and just, like, paused it. I was like, oh, my God, wait, did I just see that? I had to rewind real quick and be like, new. So, yes, they're starting with William Hartnell, which I'm actually excited about because I have been, in the interim here, watching a lot of Classic Who, so I think this will be a good series, and I think it's something we could talk about on the podcast as they come out.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And if nothing else, you know, this is getting ready for the 50th episode or the 50th anniversary. You know, it pays to look back at where we've come from.
Yeah. So speaking of that, how about right before the show, you sent me this trailer for The First Question, which is an amazing trailer. We're going to link in the show notes.
It's a video I found. I'm not sure. It has the BBC One logo on it, so I'm not sure if this is official. It looks like it could be a fan-made trailer, but if it is, it's absolutely amazing. Yeah, it's about 4.5 minutes long, and it just takes clips from each of the 9 doctors, or 11 doctors. And, it's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, no new content. It's just all the previous doctors, clips of them set to stirring music. It's just, to any Doctor Who fan, I think needs to watch that. It's just frisson inducing. Like, it makes you like, oh my god, Doctor Who.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing, and I can't, if this isn't an actual trailer, they need to find the guy that made this and hire him, like, today, because it's awesome.
For sure.
Well, like you said, I mean, that's about all the news we've got this week. There really hasn't been much in the way of news.
I guess I'll find the link for this, but I think I saw it on the Daily Mail. Freema Agyeman, who we're going to be talking about today, is going to be on The Carrie Diaries, which is the prequel series to Sex and the City. I have known nothing about the show. For some reason, the Daily Mail has been talking about the show for, like, months, so I thought it's been on, but it hasn't even premiered yet. But it was just released today, or at least I just saw it today, that Freema Agyeman is going to be playing a significant part in the show. She's, like, Carrie's mentor or something. So, anyone who's into Sex and the City or whatever, check her out, because I'm not going to watch it. So we talked about Rose last week, and today we're going to be talking about Martha, who was in the third season and then scattered throughout season four.
She made a guest appearance in the fourth series and then in in Torchwood as well. So she kind of bounced around a little bit, but she is widely known as one of the, or if not the most disliked of the companions.
I think that's completely unfair, and it's my hope today that we can kind of get into some of the complexities of Martha and defend her a little bit, because you're right, for some reason she's just not a popular companion.
Well, you know, I have to say, of all the companions, she is actually my least favorite. Now, that's not saying I think she's bad. I mean, that's saying, wow, of all of these amazing steaks, I prefer the porterhouse less than the filet mignon. You know, I mean, it's still an amazing character. I still love Martha. It's just she's not as much of a favorite as any of the others.
Yeah, I can see that. I'm not sure that she's my least favorite, but I can see where you're coming from there. I'm actually worried that I'm going to feel that way about Jenna Louise Coleman in future episodes. Because if you hear me out, Martha Jones is the perfect companion. She's gorgeous. I think up until Clara, Martha was the prettiest. Not that that matters, but, you know, there's that. There's, she was intelligent. She, like, you know, she literally has a doctorate, and we see her doing all this cool stuff with UNIT and stuff. So obviously she, and there's a Dalek calls her intelligent. Like, you know, so there's things like that. Like, and she was definitely a good foil for the doctor, a good match for him. And, you know, she was in love with him, which could have added the emotional component and stuff. And I think that they were just trying a little bit too hard with Martha Jones because they had just come off of Rose and they needed to, try at least to build up the same emotional impact with her. And so I'm worried now with they're just coming off of the Pawns, who we all loved. What if I feel like Jenna Louise Coleman's character could end up being like that, because she is so pretty and so intelligent and such a good foil for the doctor.
All right, well, let's go ahead and break this down. First, let's take a look at it. I mean, we both agree that Martha as a character is amazing. Yeah, she's a great character. The concept is solid. The acting is on par. Yeah, so we've got Martha as a character, as an idea that they introduced into the show, and then we have the practice, which basically turned into Martha as a replacement for Rose. And I think that's where the problem lies, is that, you know, you've got Rose, who was the companion for a lot of people. You know, Eccleston and Rose were the introduction to Doctor Who. So you didn't know anyone else, and you had this, you know, this companion that, you know, the Doctor fell in love with, the audience fell in love with, and then was ripped away in such a heart-wrenching, you know, way. And then all of a sudden we're thrust, you know, we have Martha thrust on us saying, here's a pretty face to you know, kind of cover that wound. And I know that's not what it's meant to be, but that's kind of the way that it feels if you're going through this not prepared for it.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think Martha herself agrees with it, because I've tried to watch most of her season this week, so I forget which episode this was. They're all blending together now. But before she leaves the Doctor, she tells this story of her friend who was in a relationship, and the friend was more into the guy than the guy was into her, and eventually Martha convinced her to leave him. And so she's saying that that was analogous to her relationship with the Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of what we're saying here. Like, we as the audience are in some kind of relationship with these characters, so mm-hmm. it's only natural to make that association.
Yeah, and I was looking at it. I tried sitting down and watching some of her episodes, and you know, aside from time restraints, I couldn't find the motivation to do it for most of the week. And I realized that's a lot of the reason why I feel like she's so disliked. It's not because the character wasn't good, it's because the episodes weren't. I mean, if you look at series 3, there's a lot of crap. And I mean solid crap that you have to wade through to get to anything decent with Martha. I mean, you know, we've got Gridlock, Daleks in Manhattan, you know, obviously the Sound of Drums and The Last of the Time Lords, which was god-awful horrible. But, you know, I mean, there's all this stuff that you have to wade through that was just, it was bad. So, you know, it's not that Martha was a bad companion, but she is the thing that runs through all of them. You know, it clearly wasn't Tennant because he was awesome in other stuff, but the only thing we have that's a solid through all of Series 3 is Martha. So I think it kind of fits into our brain that, okay, all of this is bad, and all of this includes Martha. Therefore, Martha must be bad.
Right. It's a correlation, not a causation.
Yeah. And, I mean, I think that's a lot of why people don't like her character, is just because she had crap episodes. I mean, if you took her and put the character of Martha in some of the other loved episodes, it might be a different story.
I could definitely see that. There were episodes that I couldn't... I watched, actually, most of this season. I know I deliberately didn't watch Evolution of the Daleks and Daleks in Manhattan. I just... The whole, like, the pig people and stuff, I was like, I just can't bring myself to watch this.
Yeah, I actually watched it recently because I had just taken my kids to see The Amazing Spider-Man. And I wanted to be like, hey, look, you know, you like Spider-Man. Look, he was in Doctor Who, you know. So we watched Daleks in Manhattan and The Evolution of the Daleks just to see Andrew Garfield in there because he was Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
And it was bad. I mean, my 10-year-old lost interest. He was like, this is stupid. I'm like, that's coming from a 10-year-old. You know, this cannot bode well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, let's take a look at this. You know, as a companion, as a counterpart to the Doctor, was Martha able to keep up?
Yes. No, yeah, she was. I think from the start she was able to keep up, because that was why the Doctor chose her. He wasn't really looking for a companion. It's just, this is the one girl who actually, like, could help him out in... Smith and Jones, yeah. So it's just, that's the whole reason that they ended up being together, was just because she could keep up with him as opposed to everyone else.
Yeah, and this is one of the ones that I actually did manage to watch. I sat down and watched it earlier today, and there is a lot of strength to her character. There's the fact that she's able to figure out a lot of stuff, you know, when they're on the moon, and she goes to open the window, and the her coworker's like, no, don't do that. All the air will rush out. She's like, these windows are hardly airtight. You know, if the air was going to get sucked out, it would have done that by now. And then the doctor pops up. He's like, that's very observant. That's awesome. You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, she does that throughout the whole episode. She's able to figure things out and keep up with the doctor and be a you know, she, what's the phrase I'm looking for here? Yeah, she's able to
hold her own.
Yeah. Yeah, she's able to hold her own with the doctor. And it keeps up right up until the point that he kisses her. And at that point, I was like, and there it is. You know, it's, I understood the reason for the plot device, but it just, at that moment, I was like, yeah, I'm checked out now. She's just another pretty face.
That moment in the rewatch, because I don't think I've watched that episode since the first time that I watched it. So I've seen this episode maybe twice. And the first time I didn't catch, but he says this means nothing, absolutely nothing. So
yeah.
He is completely off the hook for this, like, which I hadn't really fully comprehended it before. So there's that. But also, I actually noticed there's a few times there are references to dopamine. The doctor says it, and it's in a poster behind them, mm-hmm. and how much, and dopamine is actually a chemical, a neurotransmitter, I believe, that's released, but like when you kiss someone, basically, and or like when a mother breastfeeds or something, and it causes you to have positive feelings toward the other person so that you're like connected.
Right.
And that's, you know, that's why mothers love their babies. That's why people who kiss, the girl always ends up attached. And I think that I wonder if they did that on purpose, because like the way that word was said a few times, because the doctor says this means nothing, like it's not a real kiss or whatever, but Martha is human, experiencing a surge of dopamine, and I just wonder if the writers stuck that in there for people like me to see.
Oh, it. I can understand that, except for the fact that it's a thread that continues throughout the entire series. You know, like you said, she winds up having feelings for the doctor that he doesn't reciprocate. It's she falls in love with him and can't get him, and therefore is, you know, decides to leave, and it's. This was the start of it. It's like she, you know, he says, this means nothing, kisses her and runs off, and she's kind of like, you know, you see her eyes are all glossy, and she's just like, that meant nothing, you know?
Yeah.
It was like, you know, it's too early to be doing that, especially after having just lost Rose.
Yeah.
You know, so up until that point, I thought she was awesome. You know, and then you go through some of the other episodes. And, I mean, there are only a couple that I feel like Martha really, really shined. Like I said, it's not because she's not awesome. It's because they were bad episodes. You know, the ones that really stand out in my mind are Human Nature and Family of Blood. You know, because you have the doctor who is completely out of it. He's a school teacher. He's nothing to, you know, he's not the doctor. He is John Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And so these two episodes are nothing but Martha. You know, she is doing all the work. She is showing up. So, I mean, these are really her chance to shine.
Definitely. And we were just talking about how she has feelings for the doctor. She's actually very admirable in how she subverts her feelings here. She even has a quote, like, he has to go and fall in love with a human, and it's not me.
Mm-hmm.
But that still doesn't stop her from helping him and doing everything that she can. And I thought this was a really brave story arc because, I mean, like, there's, like, blatant racism in there. And,
yeah.
You know, like, they went places that the show doesn't normally go. You know, that's more of, like, a Torchwood kind of thing, I think, where RTD would go, not necessarily on Doctor Who.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the cool thing is that, you know, they did. They took this black woman who is brilliant, who is a doctor, and put her as a serving wench. And she, the character, suffers through it. She's like, this is what I have to do for the doctor. And she's able to sit there and take it, knowing that it's wrong, knowing full well that, you know, things do get better and that they shouldn't be this way. She still takes it for the sake of doing her mission.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think those two right there would have to be my favorite episodes for Martha.
Yeah, but I mean, like you said, this isn't the season of great episodes,
mm-hmm.
and these, I don't know if it was because it touches on certain things that I don't want to confront or something, or if they are just bad episodes, but this is not, when I'm thinking of the show as a whole, like, I almost never remember this, like, and I feel like when, in the episode, it was so important that he became human for a little while and stuff, but then you really, you know, you go a week later and he, like, he doesn't remember. I don't know if that makes any sense.
No, it does. It was kind of setting up the idea of becoming human specifically for Utopia, where, you know, Professor Yana turns into the Master. You know, is the introduction of that character again, and how the Master can exist, but nobody knew about it, and how he wasn't, you know, whatever the case is. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's really the only thing I can see. Why did they turn him into a human? A, to give Martha at least one chance to break out of the horrible writing that was Series 3, and two, to introduce that mechanic for later on.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, this series was remarkably consistent with story arcs. Like, they were planting the seeds of all this Master stuff very early on.
Mm-hmm.
That's a separate point, but...
And I noticed that when I was watching Smith and Jones, I can't remember what it was, but somebody said something, and they're like, look at that, you know, Saxon was right. And I was like, whoa! There's a sign saying, vote Saxon behind her. They make reference to him. I was like, this is episode one of this series, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, they started early.
And let's not forget, it was also on Torchwood, which I think was around the time that this season was on.
Yeah.
Just in random episodes of Torchwood, you'd see vote Saxon signs behind it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, as bad as they are, I mean, I think The Sound of Drums and The Last of the Time Lords are probably two of the episodes that I hate the most. I mean... Daleks in Manhattan, Love and Monsters, those are bad episodes, but these are trying to be an epic series finale and just fall so completely short. You know, it's like they had a fantastic premise and then saying, you know what, instead of hitting this touchdown, let's run that way and shoot the referee. Yeah, it's like you're not even playing the same game by the end of the second episode. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, that goes back to your other point about how the episodes are bad. Martha's not bad, because she actually turns into a total badass in the final three episodes. And so, as a companion, and as an actor, really, she's great in these. But I would agree with you, these are not, not up to par for a season finale.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing. They are horrible episodes, and so I tend not to think about them, because I like, very much like the Star Wars prequels, I like to pretend they didn't exist. You know, but the fact is that these really were a fantastic showcase for Martha, because, I mean, she walks around the world having nothing. You know, the world is taken over. She has no friends, no allies to help her out, really, at the beginning. And she walks around the world, collecting the stuff that the Doctor told her to, and spreading the word about him. You know, she is basically going to every corner of the Earth in a year and telling the story of the Doctor, convincing everyone how amazing he is, and saying, you know, she's basically spreading the religion of the Doctor, is what it boils down to. She is like a one-woman missionary. And, you know, able to stand up to people, get into dangerous situations, and come out the other side unscathed. You know, and not only that, but accomplish the task she set out to do. You know, how many other companions can you say that about?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. And you're right, like the religion of the Doctor, because even the Master says that was your... I forget the exact quote. He's like, you know, that's your solution, prayer. They all say the Doctor at the same time. Like, which, again, is a whole other point, but that is a really silly way to... Everyone says the word Doctor all at once, and suddenly that makes everything better. And,
yeah, it's... that's getting too much into why that episode was so horrible. But, yeah, just breaking... You know, taking all that crap and putting it away and just looking at Martha as a character in this, you know, these are fantastic episodes for Martha.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, that's about all you can say about Series 3 is that she had human nature and family of blood, and then the series finale. Everything else, she was either, you know, set decoration or, you know, a plot device for the Doctor or, you know, things like that. You know, the only other episode in this whole season that I liked was Blink, and she's barely in that.
Yeah, we haven't talked about Blink because that really has nothing to do with Martha, really.
Yeah, I mean, she's basically just a cameo in that episode, so it's not even worth bringing up in the context of this discussion, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then, I mean, we do have a couple other instances of Martha. You know, the most obvious, of course, in The Doctor's Daughter.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought that was actually a really good representation of who she is as well. You know, here she is.
How so?
Well, here she is sucked into this situation where, you know, Donna is kind of relying on the Doctor. She's still new to the situation, we'll say. You know, and it's still very much Donna and the Doctor handling things. Mm-hmm. And then you've got Martha over on the side, completely removed from them, but still handling her stuff. You know, she's able to form an alliance with the Hath. She's able to, you know, learn their side of the story, help to figure out what's going on, and, you know, manage to make it above ground with all the radiation and everything else. Like, something the Doctor wasn't even able to accomplish, she did.
Yeah, I actually really like the scenes with her and the Hath. I feel so bad when he dies.
Yeah, and, I mean, that bit of acting I thought was fantastic from... Yeah, from Freema Agyeman, just the emotion she was able to pour into it, because this essentially Power Ranger villain had just fallen into quicksand.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's one of those. I mean, clearly it gets brushed over because it was a, for all intents and purposes, a Donna episode, but then you have the introduction of Jenny, who is, you know, a complete scene stealer. Yeah, you know, so the fact that Martha's in this kind of gets brushed over, but she's still, you know, amazing in this.
Yeah, I think that's actually because she's in the scene separately. It's not her interacting with the Doctor, it's her replacing the Doctor in those scenes. Like, she's definitely acting the way that he would. I don't know if she could compete with Jenny and Donna all in the same, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the fact that, you know, you've got Catherine Tate, who is such a huge personality, and then, you know, Georgia Moffat, who is just, you know, bubbly effervescence poured into a human form. Yeah, it's hard to not, you know, it's hard to make any kind of impression with those two on screen, as, you know, as well as David Tennant. Yeah, so if they had her in the same scenes, you would probably forget she was even in the episode. I mean, I hate to say that, but it's just, she doesn't have a big enough personality to be on screen with the three of them at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, okay, so that these are like the post-season three, series three, Martha.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like her personality changes. I think it was in the Suntaran stratagem, maybe, where someone makes the comment that the Doctor turned her into a soldier. And that's so, like, you know, she was a doctor. She was a medical student when we first met her. And then, it, you know, later on she comes back after her time with the Doctor, and she is completely different.
Yeah. And, I mean, that's the thing we see with all of the companions, is the fact that, you know, Donna was a temp. She was, you know, just a random office worker, and turns into a woman who, you know, saved the galaxy almost single-handedly. You know, Rose was a shop worker and then becomes, you know, a major head of Torchwood in, you know, the alternate dimension. Yeah, that's what happens when you're with the Doctor, is you become almost the best version of your possible self. Yeah, and maybe, yes, I mean, Martha is a skilled doctor, and we see that in Torchwood. You actually get to see her acting as a doctor, which is awesome. But yeah, she's skilled at that, but maybe her strength isn't necessarily in the medical field. And the doctor just kind of brings that out in her.
I can see that. It's just it felt like it was the negative thing in the episode, you know?
Oh, they were using it as a negative statement, but yeah, I don't necessarily think that it was a negative thing that she did that. I mean, look at what she was able to accomplish in UNIT.
Yeah. Good point.
There's really not much else. I mean, we knew this was going to be somewhat shorter because the short time that she had on the show and the quote unquote quality of the episodes in series 3. You know, I want to get so much more out of the character of Martha, but the simple fact is that there wasn't a lot in the way of story for her.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't have a lot to work with.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think she gets a lot of crap unnecessarily, but I think that she is just as valid a companion as any of the others. It's just the frame that they put her in was very tarnished.
Beautiful way to put it, yes.
Do you have anything to add? I know we're, like, super early, but there's...
I honestly no, and I hate to do that because I really do like Martha, and I hope that we've kind of maybe swayed someone's opinion, but on the whole, it was just really, she was only part of the show for one season, and it was not a very memorable season, so there's not much more to say about that.
Yeah, I mean, she's a great character, but there's only so much you can draw out of the crap that she was given. You know, and unlike Rose, I would actually like to see Martha return for the 50th special. You know, if they do that kind of thing, she's one that I could accept coming back.
Yeah. And I mean, she's been the one that's, like we were saying, she's been on Torchwood and she's been in the Who universe.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like she left on bad terms or something like some other people are rumored to have. So I would love to see her back as well.
Now, see, the thing that would confuse me is the fact that Martha wasn't there for any regeneration. The only doctor she knew was the 10th Doctor. So
there's actually, on the Doctor Who wiki, it says that she did meet him, but it was in, like, a comic book or something. I'm going to try to find it specifically.
Hmm.
But, okay, yeah. Comic, The Golden Ones. She called in the 11th Doctor to assist the Japanese branch of UNIT with investigating a mysterious beverage. This was Martha's first interaction with the 11th incarnation of the Doctor.
Hmm.
So, I mean, it's technically canon. I haven't read any of the comics. But, so, allegedly, she may have met the 11th Doctor.
No. All right. Well, I'll accept it.
I mean, it just feels like one of those things, like, I'm going to say it's canon now because it is, but they could just completely rewrite that and have her meet him again.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll see what happens. Again, we have no clue if they're even going to be doing a, you know, episode for the 50th anniversary. So, yeah, this is all purely speculation, but, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing Martha return. One, because, you know, her story would allow that to. She didn't get sucked into an alternate dimension. She didn't get time-locked. She didn't get, you know, her memory erased. She just left and was able to come back. So it's like, I can accept her coming back due to the story aspect of it. And also, I think that, you know, I think that Martha needs another chance to make an appearance, to, you know, prove that she's a decent character.
Yeah, I would love to see her back.
All right. Well, this has been episode 21 of Gallifrey Public Radio. Until next week, this is Jay saying, laser screwdriver. Seriously, who uses Sonic?
And this is Melissa saying, Martha, Martha, Martha.
See you guys next week.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of Gallifrey Public Radio. Join us each week on iTunes or at gallifreypublicradio.podbean.com. Have something you want to say or just want to say hello? Send us an email at gallifreypublicradio@gmail.com or on Twitter @gallifreyradio. We love getting comments, so head over to iTunes and leave us a 5-star rating and your comment on the show. Music by Beyond the Epilogue and Retcon Addict.